news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. This show is presented by Dr. Ben McMillan of the Neal Clinic, who's responsible for information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you.
Yeah. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning.
Good morning to everybody tuning in today. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I am a chiropractor and the owner of the Neal Clinic. We are located over on Creighton Road. I do these shows as an opportunity to answer your questions about chiropractic care and educate you on how your chiropractor can help you. I've got a few things to discuss this morning. But if you have a question you'd like answered live on the air this morning, send Jenna and I a text message with your question, and I'll get to as many of those as I can this morning. What's the number they send those to, Jenna?
Yeah, if you'd like to hop on into the conversation, comment, text, give your testimony, 850-437-1620. The lines are open.
Yeah, I always love it when you guys participate. So thank you in advance to everybody that sends in those messages. So today I wanted to discuss something that if you're a listener to this program, I am sure you've heard before, may not know exactly what it is, and that's the activator methods of adjusting. If you're a patient of mine, I know that you know what this is, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on that this morning, but some of people are not aware what the activator is, how it works, so let's talk about it for a few minutes. Chiropractors, right? We use spinal manipulations, or some people call them adjustments, and we do these in order to restore proper motion and function to a joint that, well, is restricted and dysfunctional. Seems pretty simple concept, right? And what many people think of when they think of a chiropractor performing an adjustment, you know, if they have to get that picture in their mind, or if you go to YouTube and type in chiropractic adjustment, you're going to get this video, or you're thinking of an image where the chiropractor is using their hands, typically on your neck, maybe the mid-back or lower back, and they're sort of twisting you around, bending your body, and that's followed by a quick thrust of their hands. But what most people don't know is that's just one style of performing a spinal manipulation. And like everything out there, it's got some pros and some cons associated with it that we'll discuss in just a second. The activator method of adjusting, well, what this does is we utilize an instrument instead of our hands to deliver the thrust. So let's get into a little bit of why you would use one method versus the other, right? Like, why would I do the manual adjustments with my hands versus using an instrument? First of all, let's get the pre-existing conditions out of the way. If you're a patient who's had a spinal surgery, let's say something like a fusion with one of the cages, or you've got bolts and rods attached to your spine, well, guess what? You are a fantastic candidate for the activator style of adjusting that I use at the Neal Clinic, because those cages and rods, they're designed to add stability to a region in your spine, which is the opposite effect of what we're really trying to do with the adjustment, right? The goal of the chiropractic manipulation or adjustment is to increase the joint's mobility, to get it back to moving. And if you've for some reason had a surgery where they've put a cage around there, or they've bolted in and screwed those vertebrae together, they're not really supposed to be moving. With the manual adjustments, it can be very difficult, if not nearly impossible, to isolate one specific vertebral level at a time, while leaving those surrounding joints really unaffected. And that's because of several things. For one, the size of the doctor's hands could be large, could be small. And if they're a little bigger, there's going to be some of the contact points that are going to span more than one joint space. For some of the contacts, you know, you're not... the way that you have to set up is nearly impossible to just get one joint space, which could mean that those fused vertebrae are actually being stressed to try and move more when they really shouldn't be. Another thing is that the positioning of the patient that's required for the setup for some of those manual adjustments, you know, that's why we have to bend and twist you, kind of put your body in that pretzel position sometimes. That may be putting some of those patients in a compromising or even kind of painful position for them as well. But by using the activator method, the patient is very comfortable. There's no bending, no twisting. You simply just lay face down on the table, and I'm able to manipulate the direction of this instrument to the proper orientation for the joint that I'm trying to adjust at the time. To address that issue of, you know, like I said, the size of the hands can be a factor. Well, the tip of the activator was designed to be the size of that region on your spinal vertebra that I need to contact to perform the adjustment. This allows those joint manipulations with the activator to be very specific. Let's go back to that fusion example. Let's say you've had an injury and now you've had a fusion in your lower back at, let's just say L4, L5. That's a common spot for those things. And that means that those two vertebrae don't really move much anymore. I'm able to isolate the L3 vertebra, which is right above where that fusion is, and I'm not concerned about disrupting the fusion at all, which is great, because these patients that have had those fusions will almost assuredly have some joint issues in the surrounding areas of that surgery, because now that that one area is fused together, the areas right above and below that, well, now they've got more stress on them. So we need to make sure that they're functioning as well as they can. Many chiropractors don't even really want to treat these guys because they might only use manual adjustments. In fact, I get referrals from other chiropractic clinics with these patients all the time because they know that I can help them with the activator methods of adjusting that I do. Another pre-existing condition we need to talk about, and I would actually warn these guys against being manually manipulated, are those people that may have osteoporosis or osteopenia. And I know we've talked about that some on the show, but those are what osteoporosis and osteopenia are a decrease in bone density. It's typically seen in women, and osteoporosis is the more severe of the two, right? With osteopenia being kind of the early stages of this condition. But anyways, with these patients, their bones are a little more brittle now. And if you have too much force applied during an adjustment, guess what? You can pretty easily break a rib or, you know, maybe even a vertebra. Those are a little more rare, but definitely the ribs are a big cause of concern. And these patients benefit significantly from being treated with the activator because the instrument also allows me to adjust the amount of force that's being delivered with each thrust. So I can be sure I'm using the proper amount of force each and every time I adjust a patient. Whereas with my hands, the speed of the force that I apply, it's going to vary slightly between adjustments. And that's why I love this method so much. Not just because it can benefit people that have had these other, you know, spinal conditions or surgeries, but because it allows me to be so specific and so precise with each adjustment that I make. And in the healthcare world, the more specific and more precise you can be, that's pretty much almost always a good thing. You know, you don't want to take the shotgun approach to very many issues in healthcare. If we can knock out just that one thing we're trying to, that's typically a good thing. For those of you who don't know, my background's in biology. I loved science growing up, not chemistry so much, but I really love science. So, you know, I enjoyed it so much that that's what I got my bachelor's degree in, was biology. So I've read a ton of these things. I've designed, participated in dozens of scientific research projects over the years throughout school. And in order to really study something thoroughly, you've got to be able to repeat it over and over again in the same manner. So when I began researching this activator method, and I realized that by its design, it allows researchers to deliver a thrust to a specific joint with that predictable amount of force each time. And it just made so much sense to me that why the activator gets such great results. One last thing that I wanted to get into before my next topic. If you've ever been to a chiropractor or maybe just wanted to go, but you were nervous kind of about them putting their hands around your neck and then bending and twisting and getting doing that popping, you know, that popping move of your neck, give my office a call and give the activator a try. One of the, I would say, more normal responses to patients having their neck adjusted is that initially they're a little tense, a little nervous, and you could be pretty sore afterwards. And that's almost always because in order to perform the best adjustment possible, like in order for these things to really do their job, the patient should really be completely relaxed, which sounds reasonable, right? Like just kind of sit there and relax. Until you got to understand that these patients' necks are being adjusted, number one, typically because they're in pain. So you come in with neck pain and maybe this is your first time there and you've just met your chiropractor 10 minutes ago. So essentially a stranger. And this person now has their hands wrapped around your painful neck and they're twisting it, bending it around, and they're saying, just relax, don't worry, you know, don't, calm down, relax. And you know that, of course, most people are going to have some tense, you know, some tension in their neck still because they're not able to just relax their neck. It's the first time you're doing it. But don't worry, you're probably in the majority of people if you do have difficulty relaxing in that situation. But again, with the activator method, you simply lie face down on your stomach on a really comfortable table, and I'm able to move the instrument to deliver that proper line of drive for the thrust. Your neck, your back, yeah, I mean, you're just completely relaxed as you lie there, which makes the adjustment much more comfortable and effective because now your muscles aren't working against me. I'm trying to get your joints moving. Your muscles are trying to hold the joints there. You know, that's, we avoid that situation altogether by just having you lay in a comfortable position. So I get the question all the time, why don't more doctors practice this style of adjusting? Well, a significant amount of time is spent training. You know, when you're in school, you have to train to use your hands to perform these manual manipulations, these chiropractic adjustments, because it takes a lot of practice and skill to really do it properly. But in order to learn, you know, these instrument-assisted adjusting, this activator method, I have to attend seminars every year on top of all the other required continuing education hours that we have to do, you know, mandated by the state in order to keep our license. I attend additional seminars in order to keep up with these, you know, the newest trends in this technology, as well as continue to hold the certification for the activator method. You know, I've attended so many of these things now that I've reached what's called advanced proficiency rated, which is the designation that they told me is the highest rating I can achieve. I've been to so many of these things. Now, you know, you might have been to your chiropractor and, you know, some people may have been adjusted by an instrument before because, you know, most chiropractors were in the profession. They might have an instrument or maybe even an activator laying around their office in a drawer somewhere gathering dust. But if you're not properly trained and you don't use this tool every day, you're not going to be an expert at it. Jenna, I kind of compare it to this. You know, if you and I were to run over to Home Depot and buy a hammer and some wood and some nails, you know, that doesn't really make us carpenters, right?
Oh, no, especially not me.
Yeah.
Not at all.
We've got all the tools, right? We could buy everything that carpenter has. And I bet we could get the nails to stay in the wood, and we may have most of our fingers still intact. But I would, again, I would by no means call us carpenters. And it's kind of the same thing. If you're going to get adjusted with an activator, go to someone who's professionally trained and uses these tools regularly. If you're listening to this and aren't really geographically close to Pensacola, you can just go to activator.com, and there's a section on the website where it says, I think it says find a doc or find a doctor, and you just type in your city or zip code and they'll show you a list of doctors in your area that are certified in this method. I actually checked the map this morning before I came into the show, and if you're close to the Pensacola area, I'm actually the only doctor in Pensacola that is certified in this activator method of adjusting. There's one other doctor located out in Gulf Breeze that uses the activator, but I'm the only doctor within 70 miles, it said, that's advanced proficiency rated. Okay, that's my activator talk for the morning. Let's get on to today's back and spine condition. The case that I did want to discuss this morning involves, is called spinal stenosis. The word stenosis, it's got that Latin Greek origin that means narrowing. And in the medical world of spinal stenosis, we're almost always going to be talking about the central spinal canal. And that's where your spinal cord is located. Makes sense, right? Central spinal canal, spinal cord. Stenosis, though, can actually refer to the narrowing of other canals and blood vessels, all sorts of things, like the neural foraminal canal, or, you know, that's where the nerve roots exit from your spine. But in most cases, if we're talking spinal stenosis, it's almost always going to involve the spinal cord. So like I mentioned, stenosis, that means narrowing. And when you narrow that spinal canal, you can begin to kind of compress on that spinal cord. It's kind of like if you have a hose and you start pinching that hose, you know, initially just some light pressure, not going to make a big difference, but you can really squeeze it and block some of that water flow. You can do the same thing with your spinal cord, and that is not a good thing. The natural course of stenosis, though, is generally, it's a slow but steady progression. Fortunately, occasionally, some patient symptoms do remain stable, and they can maybe even improve over time. But what is typically seen is that the symptoms, they're going to correspond to the progression of the disease. So the more cord compression, the more severe those symptoms are going to be. In the early stages of this thing, it can just present simply as neck pain, maybe some headaches, which then over time is going to progress to numbness in that shoulder. It's going to start going down your arm, maybe your upper back. It can present as a couple different things. It can be that numbness. It can be shooting pains. It can be burning. Eventually, though, it can kind of result in a loss of fine motor skills if we're talking about stenosis in your cervical spine. Those are things patients will come in and say, you know, they've been more clumsy lately, right? I'm noticing myself dropping more things. It feels like my hand is weak. I can't open jars like I used to anymore. Sometimes you'll have difficulty walking. You'll be tripping more. This is potentially one of the more serious symptoms of this stuff is a loss of bowel or bladder control. But again, most of these symptoms are way more prevalent later stages of the disease. Now, the gold standard to determine the severity of this stenosis is we've got to get an MRI. They're going to look at a cross-section of your spinal canal, which typically ranges around that 17 to 18 millimeter range. With stenosis, they start grading stenosis at about 13 millimeters. That's more mild, and they really start talking impingement around 10. In my office, the physical exam for these patients, it's going to yield some different results. And again, it's going to depend on the severity of that condition. If it's really advanced, we might see some pathologic reflexes. I might see some weakness on some of the muscle testing. But those are more common in severe cases. So now we know a little bit about this condition, but now the real part, how can your chiropractor help? Well, for one, we can be a good resource to just diagnose this through the physical exam, and then we can write the referral for the MRI if I do think that's something you have. Afterwards, depending on the severity of this case, you may need a referral to a neurosurgeon. Again, not one of the happy conversations we have to have, but because this condition typically progresses, it can cause some irreversible nerve damage. So getting proper treatment for this is essential. But like I said earlier, this condition is a slow progression. It's one of the end results of that downward degenerative spiral that I talked about last week. the gradual aging process, it's going to thin out the disc spaces between our vertebra. The joints and ligaments that surround our spinal canal, they build up calcium deposits, and they call those things osteophytes or spondylophytes. It kind of depends where they are on your body, but depending on the location and the size of those osteophytes is really going to determine how much spinal cord compression there is. This condition, it increases in prevalence as we age. So, you know, it affects about 5% of the adult population, but that's going to increase. It's going to double for those over 70 to about 10%. But there's something interesting to note there. The normal aging process will, without a doubt, it's going to cause degenerative changes. That's just the way it happens. The osteophyte formation along your joint spaces, that's simply just the cost of living as a human here on planet Earth. So if everybody's got degeneration, why do only, you know, maybe 10% of those over 70 get this cord compression? And the answer to this is kind of tied into that degenerative downward spiral. Those osteophytes, or bone spurs is what most people call them, they don't form randomly. They form in areas of increased stress and is somewhere where you've probably had an injury. Having misaligned joints and poorly functioning joints, that's a surefire way to increase the stress on a joint and cause it to degenerate faster, cause it to degenerate more than maybe a joint that doesn't have that stress on it, that isn't misaligned. Unfortunately, most people will suffer some form of injury to their neck or back throughout their lives. And I haven't quite come up with a way to stop that yet, but what I can help you with is your recovery after injury and teaching you how to take care of your spine going forward. Because those areas that you injure when you're young and you never really got taken care of, well, guess what? Those will be the places that 10, 15 years down the road we'll look at on an x-ray and I'll say, you know, were you in a bad car accident when you were younger? Almost always they'll say yes, and they never went to get any care or treatment afterwards. And, you know, I use the word injury there, but this doesn't have to mean just one significant traumatic event like that car accident, which you can absolutely damage some joint. I mean, that's a pretty obvious one, right? You get in a bad car accident, you're going to have some joint, some ligament sprain, strain. But you can damage your joints, and most people do kind of unknowingly, by just repetitive motions over time. And this is stuff like poor work posture. If, you know, most people, they got to work every day, right? And most people do it for years. So if you show up to work every day for 40 years and are sitting in a poorly designed chair with poor posture, poor ergonomics, you don't really exercise and give your spine the support it needs from the surrounding muscles, that's going to cause joint injury. And no, you didn't have a bad car accident. Maybe you never had a car accident. But if you had those sort of conditions, or you know, you just aren't taking care of your spine, that's one of the ways that you can injure these. We had somebody text in, how soon can I come see you after an accident? And do we refer for MRIs? Okay, so kind of two questions here. How soon can you come in after an accident? If you are in a car accident and you get out of your car and your arm is bent in a direction that it is not normally in, you can come and see me after you go to the emergency room and get that x-rayed and get that bone put back in place. If you happen to get out of your car and, you know, it's a minor accident, it feels like initially, but nothing's broke, they don't say you have to take the ambulance to the emergency room, you're not bleeding, you can come and see me as soon as you want to. There's actually a 14-day rule in Florida, so you have to go somewhere within the first 14 days or you lose your coverage for that. The second part of that question, do you refer for an MRI? Absolutely, yes. If there is medical necessity for an MRI, that is what we need to do. I don't have x-ray vision. There's a lot I can determine just with physical exam, you know, testing and orthopedic testing. Again, I can't see through your body. MRIs, x-rays, those give us a ton of detail. chiropractors are portal of entry doctors, so we can easily refer you into those imaging facilities. I hope that that gave you an answer to that question. I'm running out of time this morning. We'll finish up this talk on stenosis next week. Again, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan with the Neal Clinic. We're located on Creighton Road, right across the street from Walmart. My number is 850-479-SPINE. That's one number too many, but you'll figure it out.
Thank you, Ben, so much. Always good to see you and hear from you. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Hey, we've got more coming up for you on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Stick around. Let's see what's happening in the news with Mark Jacobs.
Santa Rosa County Schools changing COVID guidelines. Story after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Far fewer jobs were added in September than most economists expected, according to the report out this morning from the Labor Department.
The U.S. economy added 194,000.